Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting us this morning, I hope you find peace and friendship with us. And please join us for tea and coffee after the service when there'll be a light lunch for sale. We meet for prayers in the church on Monday and Thursday at 9:15 a.m. And this week we'll pray for the folks in Rock Gardens. And please join us if you're able. And if you're unable to join us, you can pray for them at home. Articles for the Summer Link magazine should be with Avril today, and for the first time ever I had mine in early, because surprise, surprise, I'm going on holiday. Book group meet tonight at 7:30 to 9 p.m. in the church hall, and the book for this month is Room by Emma Donoghue. The next book for the 16th of June is Mice in Maine by John Steinbeck. Hope Cafe will be on Thursday the 30th of May, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., then at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and all are welcome. The Paterson Church Coffee Morning will start on Tuesday the 4th of June, 10 a.m. to 11:30, and the next Guild Craft Night will be on Monday the 10th of June at 7:30. Joan Gemmell's now looking for the completed quizzes to be handed back, so if you've got it done, if you could give it to Joan as soon as possible. And can anyone who's not completed the fire safety training please speak to George Burns? For health and safety reasons, all cupboards need to be labelled, and this has been done, but the responsible person for each cupboard needs to identify what's in it. Today we have a special birthday. Somebody's having a special birthday, Rosina Rooney. So can we sing happy birthday to Rosina? You don't look very happy, Rosina. To mention that I received an email from the presbytery to ask if anyone in the congregation would be interested in taking part in a golf tournament to be held in the autumn of 2019 or the spring of 2020. The proposal is intended to foster friendships across the presbytery with a degree of healthy competition. At the same time as enhancing our sense of corporate identity as a presbytery. Estimated costs would be in the region of £45 to £50 per person, which would include one round of golf and an after-competition meal. A trophy will be awarded to the winning team to be retained for 1 year. Congregations and links charges may submit at least one team of four. More than one team might be permitted depending on the level of demand. At this stage, we're simply trying to gauge interest and would be grateful for any early responses. I'll leave that in your hands, Stuart. If you know of anyone who's ill or in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could please let Anne know and we'll send flowers or we'll visit. Welcome, Gillian. It's not Stuart as you see this morning. It's a wee bit better looking at Gillian.
More here.
So Gillian's leading us in worship this morning. We look forward to what you have to say. Thanks, Gillian.
Thanks, Margaret. Good morning.
Good morning.
Little children, love comes first. Before fame, before wealth, before our names, before our gifts, before worship, before today, before now, before everything, love comes first. So let us love God as God first loved us. Let us worship God as we stand, as we are able to sing, as a deer pants for the water, C84550.
Thank you.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. God of all seasons, God of all time, God of all words, we come. We come as we are, out of time, out of sorts, out of reason, yet seeking time to be. Reasons to be, and most of all, to be calm in your presence, ready to listen and know, and follow and obey. Holy God, you gave us guidance. In all of history, your guidance has been there, muddled and devalued by words like command and order, when what you seek of us is desire, love, compassion, hope. Forgive us when our lives are full of commandments and rules and lacking compassion and love. Forgive us when the word becomes more than Jesus, your word, when our determination to adhere to the word fails to fulfill the spirit of joy and hope. Show us gently, humbly, lightly, softly how to follow, how to be guided into obedience, and teach us acceptance of your love, your forgiveness, and your compassion. In the name of your glorious Son, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd now like to invite George to come forward and light the candle to signify God's presence here among us today. Our Bible reading this morning comes from John chapter 13, reading from verses 31 to 35, and Christine will come forward and read that for us.
After Judas had left, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man's glory is revealed. Now God's glory is revealed through him. And if God's glory is revealed through him, then God will reveal the glory to the Son of Man in himself, and he will do so at once. My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. You will look for me, but I tell you now what I have told the Jewish authorities. You cannot go where I am going. And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. Amen.
Thank you, Christine. I was going to say morning, boys and girls, but it's girls. Cameron's sitting in the choir. He's joined the choir this morning. So he has. I think there's lots of having sleepy heads this morning because there was lots of dancing at a wedding last night. So I think there's a lot of some boys and girls that are in their bed still this morning. Right, this morning we heard Christine talking about a commandment. Now, do you know what that is? What would we call it? What do you think a commandment is? I think it's maybe like a rule, like somebody telling us what to do. Yeah. And we've all got rules to follow, haven't we? Everywhere we go, even as adults, have got rules. So we have. And I was looking through a book and they had these rules. And it says, if you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it. If you move it, put it back. If it belongs to someone else, get permission to use it. If you borrow it, return it. If you don't know how to work it, leave it alone. That's what men do with the oven. If you use it, take care of it. If you break it, admit it, Cara. If you can't fix it, ask someone who can. If you mess it up, clean it up, Cara. If it's none of your business, then don't ask questions. Do you think they're quite good rules? Yeah? No, you don't? No! Why? Why are they not good rules?
I wouldn't follow them.
You wouldn't follow them? Well, do you know something? I think most people in here would agree with you that we know what we should do, but sometimes we don't do it, do we? Well, Jesus knew the importance of rules. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples because after Jesus died on the cross and then rose to life, he knew that he was going to have to go back up to heaven. And he wanted to leave his disciples with a rule. And what he said to them was, I want you to love one another like I have loved you. And that's why when people look at you, they'll know that they were disciples of Jesus, because they were kind, and they were kind to people, and they loved people regardless of their faults. Because we've all got faults, haven't we? And sometimes it's really, really, really hard to love people, isn't it? There's always some people like that, oh, really? But that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to love everybody, no matter how annoying they are. So today, everybody was given a little packet of love hearts. These. And what I want you to do, and the adults too, to take them away today, right? And inside, some of them have got messages on them. Some of them have just got faces now. They don't have... So I want you to take them away, right? And I want you to give one sweet to somebody different, okay? Some of them have got love hearts, some of them have got a wee message on them. So take them to school, give them to your mum, your dad, your granny, your grandpa, your uncle, and do you know what would be really nice? To give it to somebody that you find really hard to love, and just to give them a sweetie, and that is like sharing the love in this wee packet. Okay? There's loads there, so I hope you get lots of friends. Will I give them to Shona to take? Will I? There we go. Right, we'll have a wee prayer before you go back into Sunday school, will we? Let us pray. When our friends let us down and we feel lonely and sad, help us to love one another. When we've done something wrong and feel guilty and bad, help us to love one another. When we get in a fight and each think that we're right, help us to love one another. When we go in a huff, when enough's not enough, help us to love one another. When we want to please you and don't know what to do, help us to love one another. When we want to find out about what this life's all about, help us to love one another. How will other folk know that we love Jesus so if we love one another? What would he say if he had to come here today? Please, just love one another. Lord, we want to, we really do, but it's not easy. So please, help us to love one another. Amen. We're going to sing now a new commandment I give unto you. Thank you. The title of today's reading in the Good News Version is A New Commandment. Is this really a new commandment? Is this not the foundation of all the law? Love God is the first commandment. The rest of the commandments are basically about loving one another, although on many occasions the love part has been forgotten and the commandments have become rules and a minimum standard of behaviour. Other things have become more important. Did Jesus replace God's previous commandments with just this one new commandment? Many teach that is exactly what he meant, but the reasoning doesn't take into account all that Jesus said. Most of what Jesus said wasn't new. Almost the same words had been written many centuries earlier in Leviticus. Jesus merely added some words that could not have been written in Leviticus because Jesus had not yet come. Those new words spoken by Jesus were, "Even as I have loved you," referring to the perfect example of love he had set for them. His example raised the bar of loving character higher than it had ever been before. He loved us to the point he gave his own life for us. He explained just two chapters later, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." But Jesus also illustrated through his example that love and obedience must go together. He explained, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In this reading, Jesus' interjection of his new commandment seems to interrupt the flow of conversation about where he is going and how his disciples must manage without him. But in fact, it is the key to their continued survival and the success of their mission. We fulfill Jesus' new commandment when we love each other to the same extent he did, by being willing to lay down our lives for others' sake. That is the kind of love that Jesus wants of all his true disciples to practice from the heart. And that is the point he was making in his new commandment. The incident which is set in John's Gospel comes just after Judas had gone into the night, intent on betrayal, and just before Jesus' words to Peter about his impending denial. The close-knit group of disciples was beginning to disintegrate just as Jesus was getting ready to go where they could not follow. Jesus' insistence that his followers should love one another as constantly and generously as he had loved them is as relevant now as it ever was, and for the same reasons. Christians are again living with some opposition and widespread indifference to the gospel we claim to live by. No one is going to pay the slightest attention to the fine words we say about love if they look at the church and see only hostility and division. Loving those with whom we agree or like is the easy part. Loving the rest of the folks we meet is a much harder ask of us. It is a human condition to love and want to be loved. Reality is, it is easier to love those who are more loving and lovable. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said that peace is not the absence of war, but the presence of justice. Our world changes when justice prevails. When we love one another, no matter who they are, justice and peace become part of our reality. When we work for justice and equality, we are fully living into the love we are commanded to show one another by Jesus. My favourite film of all time is Love Actually. I never tire of watching it. Ask Bill. It has many different themes running throughout. The film is about relationships. Lots of different relationships. Some are happy and fulfilling. Some don't really go anywhere. Some are tentative but suddenly blossom. Some are hurtful and dishonest. Some relationships cope with bereavement. One manages to break language barriers. As in life, so with this film, not all relationships end happily. At the opening of the film, we are taken to an airport, and Hugh Grant narrates the following. Whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion started to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed. But I don't see that. Love is everywhere. It's not always dignified, it's not always newsworthy, but it's there. When the planes hit the Twin Towers, as far as I know, none of the mobile phone messages of people on board were of hate or revenge. They were messages of love. If you look for it, I've got a feeling you'll find love is actually all around. As we hear these words, we see scenes from the airport arrival gate. A mother greeting a daughter. A father greeting a son. Friends embrace. Lovers kiss. Children laugh for love. Adults cry for love. When you look at it, there is more love around than you would imagine or give credit. The American theologian Paul Rauschenberg has said, "We have a love crisis in our country. People are literally dying for love. Dare we be that kind of Christian? Dare we love?" Love is an act of defiance. Love is the foundation of our church. It is the past, present, and future of our church. Love is not the sole property of Christianity. It has a place in all major world religions and to those with no faith. But Christianity is based on love. Love is what we are because of what we do. If we have love, if we live love, then we are God's people. Loving God means loving others and upholding justice and dignity for all. We know the cost of following the commandments, but are we scared of paying the price? If we want to live up to our calling to be children of God, then we must display the family likeness, the family trait, and that is love. With God's healing love, we are called to mend the world. And in mending the world, we find that we mend the broken places of our own lives. That is what it means to love God and to love one another. It is why love is a supreme word of life. Society is judged by the way it treats its weakest and most vulnerable people. It is our task to be a blessing to the world. Writer Jonathan Swift wrote, "We have just enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to make us love one another." When we give up the burdens of suspicion, envy, and hate and live love out loud in the world, God's kingdom comes near. Swift goes on to say, "It is a world where all are fed and housed with access to clean water, healthcare, adequate education, and meaningful work, where no one is excluded for reasons of race, gender, or sexual orientation, and where young and old are cherished as God's family endeavours to sustain the precious resources of this fragile earth. Whether we are a preacher or a politician, a teacher or a train driver, a shop worker or a farmer, a homemaker or a musician. The word of life for each of us is love. God's love taking deep root in our very souls and changing us, and in turn, changing God's world. Love one another as I have loved you. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. So how do we demonstrate love to one another? When I was researching this sermon, I came across two quotes which struck me about what it means to love. The first, what does love look like? It has the hands to help others. It has the feet to hasten to the poor and needy. It has eyes to see misery and want. It has the ears to hear the sighs and sorrows of mankind. That is what love looks like. The second, love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. To love someone is not just a strong feeling, it is a decision, a judgment, a promise. Here is an opportunity this week to talk about the requirement and justice of love. We so often draw conclusions about who we choose to love and who we see in our lives as the less lovable. This happens in the hearts and minds of both individuals and our church. Jesus tells his disciples that they will be known for their act of loving. We would all do well to listen and act on this commandment. We are all called to love. We are called to love others as a mark of our own discipleship. The way Jesus talks about loving one another is the heart of the gospel and how we spread Christianity. As he loved, and that love spread within his inner circle, so too will love spread after he has gone, when love is done in his name. When we learn to do as Christ asks, we can make a change for our neighbours. There is no greater power than the power of love. Amen. Let us stand as we are able to sing hymn 501. Take this moment. It is not how much we give, but how much love we put into giving. Our offering for the work of our church here in Stonehouse and beyond will now be uplifted. Loving God, in Jesus you gave us far more than just wise teaching, healing hands, and an example to follow. He did not just talk about goodness, he was good to his very core. He did not just speak about forgiveness, he forgave those who hurt him most. He did not just teach about loving, he loved us and let nothing stand in love's way. What can we offer that would not be an insult to such absolute self-giving grace? certainly not just money, nor a portion of our talents and time. Nothing less than our love will do. And we offer it now in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll remain standing as we sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Let us pray. It is God's love that has drawn us here together. So, Father, wherever Christians are fussing and arguing, living outside your will or without the responsible love you teach, bring about deep cleansing, healing, and renewing so that we can really be your body in our world. Lord, you show us what loving really means. Father, wherever injustice stifles human growth and selfish ambition distorts leadership, bring about right and good government throughout the world, born of your wisdom and humility. Lord, you show us what loving really means. Father, as we watch our children growing, remind us of our calling to grow more loving in the ways we deal with conflict, approach difficulties, and address the needs of those we meet. Lord, you show us what loving really means. Father, in the places of long-term pain and sudden shock, of weariness, disappointment and fear. Bring about the peace which only you can give, and the comfort which speaks of hope. Lord, you really show us what loving really means. Father, may the physical death of those we now recall be nothing less than the gateway to a new and lasting life in your love and protection. Lord, you show us what loving really means. Father, we ask in this week of spiritual togetherness, you guide churches throughout the world through difficult and complex decisions which are needed, especially during and beyond the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. Lord, you show us what loving really means. So, Heavenly Father, we offer you our hearts with all the love you find inside, and thank you for putting it there. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now we stand as able to sing our final hymn, And Can It Be?
Thank you.
May we go now into the world, a new season, a new beginning, a new colour to everything, and share the news in everything new. Love comes first. May we live renewed by that love in the world. May the God of love, who raised Christ from the dead, strengthen our inner being for every good work. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon us and dwell within us this day and forevermore.